We are up to the Gemara Daf Lamed Hayam and Aleph. We learned that Rav Huna came along and introduced to us a new concept that every Shomer, regardless, has to swear She'ena B'shusay, that he no longer has the item in his Shus before we move on. So we had this whole issue here about Maidu and Mixus, so we had different answers here. That the last answer we had was, this is talking about after the Shomer, the one who watched the Mashkin, gives his Shvua that he doesn't have it anymore. That's when the Loiva swears whether he owes him how much the value of the mashkin is. Comes along another answer, but there's more now. About 2018 lines on the top. No, 18. I get so excited. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa mashmei de Rava Amar. Rav Huna the son of Tachlifa says name of Rava Reisha the Sefer, the very first case in the Sefer. With the borrowers claiming money back from the lender, saying that the mashkin was worth double what you lent me. You lent me a seller, but the mashkin was worth two shloim. Is to yufta le Rav Huna is a kasha on Rav Huna. And the Reisha, then the Malva says, no, it was worth exactly a seller. I owe you nothing. Is a kasha Rav Huna? Why seller? He'll be sonny love. You lent me a seller on this mashkin, but shtaim hayishav, but the mashkin sells worth two shloim. You owe me a seller. Aloy man, the lender says, Loy knows not true. Kela sella, he'll be sicha. Olav, I lent you taka sella, but sella yishav. It was only worth a sella pot. Now, the mitzel Rav Huna, it's a very strong question. If Rav Huna is correct, that the malva anyway has to swear that ainoy b'shusa. We learned to it before. Davov, a concept called gilgul shvua, which is once you have to swear for me one shvua, I can throw upon you other shvuas. So why is the loiva swearing? So why do we say the malva doesn't have to swear because of a krefer hakol? Let's tell the malva now that you're swearing, you no longer have the pekud in your possession. We'll throw on you another shvua. What the value of the mashkin is, even though generally
an automatic rule?
Yes.
It's a little unfair, though, because if I swear by one thing, it doesn't mean that I'm going to mean the other thing, too.
Well, you're right. The title of the Lutheran Seder, Amen, that once you throw one shvua, I can throw other things, suspicions that I have, had some affairs, I can throw it on her as well. But you have to have a legitimate shvua in the first place. Once the malva has to swear that's no longer in his possession, let him also swear, how much is worth? He said to me, we're talking about a case where the leiva trusts the malva. The leiva claims it's worth two, but when the malva says worth one, the leiva says, malva, you know what? I trust you, it's only worth one. If the leiva is a trusting of the malva, he trusts the malva that he no longer has it in possession. When the bezin wants to impose a shvu on the malva that you don't have it, the leiva says, no, don't worry about it, I trust him. Freddy, what the leiva is trusting the malva, then why is he even having an argument how much the value of the mashkin is? The malva says it's worth a seller. Trust the malva. Why does the leiva believe the malva is welcome? In this matter, kama havashavash is worth. Says the gemara, like kim le begave. He believes the malva doesn't really know the value. The leiva trusts the malva that he no longer has in possession. Not true. The malva only had it for a short time. But the leiva had it, he bought it, he knows what it's worth, so why doesn't Malva trust the leiva?
Isn't value subjective, though?
Not exactly. You know what you pay for it.
If someone is prepared to pay more, then the thing is worth more
to
that person.
Yeah, but not a Talton, a Karka maybe. A Talton generally, there's exactly. But him, the Malva leiva, the Kim the Begava, why does, if the leiva trusts the Malva, the only thing that the Malva should reciprocate and trust the leiva? The Malva does not trust the Leiva when it comes to the value. What's going on here? Why is the Leiva trust the Malva? The Malva doesn't trust the Leiva. Says the Gemara. Very simple. Leiva mekayt. There's one pasuk, and the Leiva fulfills the first half of the pasuk, and the Malva fulfills the second half. Leiva mekayt be Malva. The Leiva fulfills, and the Malva says the pasuk. Tumasi, the innocence of Yisharim, those who walk straight. Tanchem will lead them. So he trusts that the Malva is a good person. The Malva did him a favor. The Malva lent him money, so therefore he trusts him. Of a Malva Mekayim Bebeleva, the Malva, if he follows the other half of the pasuk where it says, Veselev Boidim Yishadim, that the crooked way of the crooked people, Yishadim, that's what they throw back. In other words, this guy is poor, who knows what he does, what he's up to in order to sustain himself, so therefore he doesn't trust him. The Malva is a nice guy. He lent the money. What did the Malva gain from lending him money? Zero. So obviously he's a nice guy. But the leiva needed the money, so he doesn't trust leiva.
I think you need some level of trust to lend someone money, no?
Yeah, true.
But that's why I took a pekodim.
Exactly. If he really trusts him, why would he take a pekodim?
Loi v'rosh v'loi yishalim.
Loi chachon v'lechem.
Sadei choynim v'noisim.
Yeah.
That's the...
Ahugav is a person that afkid kipik abechav is a person who gave over a nosben the. Get another more sorry. It was a person that. Is it Gemara? There should be one more large Gemara somewhere.
How do you get from
Kippi
to Nezem?
Kippi is Aramaic, and Nezem is Mutela.
No, I thought Kippi would be like a kippa.
No. Kippi is nosbender, nosebands. Hugabe, there's a person, the Avkid Kippi Gabi Chavre, when Aflam Hehem and Aleph write the first line, he gave to his friend to mine for him a noseband jewelry. Umbele, and then afterwards he went to him and said, Havli, give me back, Kipoyi, give me back my jewelry, my nosebands. Umbele, lo yedaina hecha asvina. This guy was a shemer chinam. He said, I can't remember where I put it. He didn't say, I lost it, I just don't know where I put it.
I put it somewhere safe.
Also, kamer anachir anachir umbele, he said, ko lo yedaina pshiyusehi. Lo yedaina is already a form of negligence. I'm not going to show him exactly how far we take this lo yedaina. Lo yedaina means, I know I put it in the ground, but I can't remember where. Or sometimes I have no idea where I put it. How far? You know, if he remembers, I put it in a safe place. I just can't remember where. Is that also called a pshiusa? Machlekes Hashem. Anyway, and the machlekes Hashem and pshiusa is that a din and shemim, or that's actually a mazik? Because some say shemim chidim doesn't have any laws of a shemim except he's a mazik. When negligence is like just like a mazik, and the chiddush in the Torah is that for a shemim that's considered really a hazik. Anyhow, so he says, I'm not going to say, since you don't know where it is, zil shalim, so I pass, because you got to pay. Pshi, you got to pay. Loi shilim, he didn't pay. He refused to pay. He said, I know it's around somewhere, just don't know where. Also, Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman did this consistently, agbe la'avdim, took away his palace. His palace meant he took away his room, that's dalad by dalad. L'soiv, later on, ishtaka, the taka found, they located the kippi, the yaka, now the kippi was worth more than the palace that was taken from him. The Shemin wants to keep it. And he's doing well out of it. On Nachman, how did he keep the Marayu? No. Give back the kippah to the Roner and you'll get your palace back. But how did after the Lamari and let you and you get your palace back?
That doesn't sound right.
Why not? Omar Rava says Rava. We'll see in a minute. Very good Yuda. Have Yasivna Kamed Rav Nachman. We're sitting before Rav Nachman. Uperikin Hamafkin Haba. We're learning actually Perik Hamafkin that we're doing right now. But Amri lay, and we said to him, but doesn't the Mishnah say that Shiloh, if you paid, will Rotzel Lishon? The Mishnah says clearly, once you paid, if the Ganav pays Kefil, who gets the Kefil? The Shemer. So if the value goes up, the Shemer should keep it. What are you taking it back from the Shemer for? Lo Yahadili, and he didn't answer me. He refused to answer me. V'shapet Ovel Adili, he wanted us to work it out on our own. And it's a good thing he didn't answer me, because I figured it out. My time, Ahosim, in our Mishnah, the guy volunteered to pay, Lo Atzachil Lebeit Din, he wasn't Mazir HaBezin. Hocha atchel beidina. Here is matriach abezin. The member comes out. The sovereign of Nachman holds. We already had the sugi in Babakama. The shuma hoder. We had that even though bezin made an assessment and they gave it away. But let's say the Baal Chayv eventually is able to pay. Let's say the Baal Chayv can't pay. The borrower can't pay. The lender comes in and takes the property away from one of the takes away the property. But if he then has money from one of the purchasers, if the purchaser then has money, he can go back to the guy, give him the money, and take the property back. Shuma hoder. He can go back over here also. You already confiscated the palace, and yet you say as soon as he found the nosebands, he can bring it back and take it back. Shiny Hossam is actually Machlek is a shiny if he gets to keep the increase in value or not. Shiny Hossam, who gets to keep that? Shiny Hossam, there's different. The Shuma Batayis have no, he can't bring a knife from here. Over here, the whole thing is based on an error. The Kohavi Kippi Mikara. He didn't say he lost it. He just said he doesn't remember where he put it. As soon as they remembered where he put it, he gave it back. So the whole thing was based on an error. Amri Nedoy, but now that you brought up this whole idea of Shuma, in Nedoy we said, we had actually in the first Pedic, Shuma Hoda, that a Shuma can be reversed. So let's say if the Bezin says to the borrower, we're taking away, you're confiscating your property on behalf of the lender. If the borrower one day finds money, he can go back to the lender and give him the money and take his property back. Add how much? Up to a year. And that's it. However, I come from the doi. You say the doi say this. I'm from the doi. And I hold shumahoder le'olam. The hirchos hashum hada la'ilam. He always can come and collect it back. But what's the svara? Mishum, because he learned, she never said, well, sisa hayoshev atayv. You really had no right to this property. He owed you $100. He didn't have it at the time. Now that he has it, you should give back. It's his property. Sisa hayoshev, you do the right thing. Even though this is very pasuk we use for to teach the halacha l'fnei mishur sadin. But here it seems this is not just l'fnei mishur sadin, this is yosher. Says well, Pshita, talking about Shuma, that's for sure. Shomu leila balchayiv. What happens if we went ahead and they assessed it for balchayiv? But Ozalia, the balchayiv took the property away, and then Vishal balchayiv, then he owed money to somebody else. So then he gave the property to somebody else. Amrin le, still the first borrower has a right to go to the second lender and take the property back. Because why? Because the second lender is no stronger than the first lender. You cannot be any more powerful than the person you came from. However, what about the Zovna? Let's say the lender seized the property because the borrower couldn't pay, and then the lender unsold it, or Urto, he gave it away as inheritance, or the Yahavah Mavtoni gave it away as a gift. Vaday Hani Mikoda Adaita the Adenachis. Over here, you cannot go, the borrower cannot go to the purchaser and take it back, because the one who purchased it for longevity. Or the matana was forever. But Lava Daita is always an achas. He didn't come in just because thinking that, you know, I'll take this instead of the money. He came in to buy it as a purchase. What about Shomu Lalisha? They assessed the property for a woman she owed money, and they assessed the property of Intzva, and then she got married. They took it away from her, then she got married. And now she has a husband. And Rashi learns that the husband, that she died. Oy Shomu Minodisha. Or they assessed it from a woman she owed money. The Intzva, then she died. The Mason, she died. Baal Benichse Ishta Lekechava. He is considered a Lekech. So all the different Lekech apply over here. On the one hand, Loy Mehedev, Loy Mahadin Lay. That he cannot go to the lender and say, I want the property back, because he is only a purchaser. And we said, and the purchaser can't go take it. And so inside, if he has the property, the lender cannot come to him and say, the borrower who borrowed money from his wife. And then they seize the property from him, and then she passed it on to her husband. The borrower, when he gets his money back, cannot go to the husband and say, give me my property back, because the husband is arm's length. The husband is a buyer. Machlek is a shayna if the wife is still alive or not.
Did you say the same thing as for Yerushim as well?
She died. Yerushim, no, only the husband is a lekech.
Only the husband.
And the Yerushim. We already had before. Ota.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So you're right. Baal b'nichse isha lekech ave le'medle medle'ed omer abis v'chini b'usha iskinu. We already had a takana in Usha. We had a takana in Usha. That's when the Sanhedrin moved about. One of the places was Usha Melata Konos. And one of the Konos was Isha Shemach Nisalug Bechai Baila. The woman Nisalug are the property that she brings it, that brings into the thing. It still belongs to her. And the husband works it. So therefore, we gave the husband the paytas.
Yeah.
But that's something, you know, he's Malog. He's plucking it. Taking all the produce, but she owns the property. So Isha Shemach Nixim Lug Mechai Baila, then the Meshi died. Even though Minadin, she owned the property, she had every right to sell it. But they made it a special corner. Habal Meitzi Miyad Lekuchas. They made a special corner that the husband can take it away from the Lekuchas. Why? Because this is a special corner made because he is Agbe Iyu Bechayvay. Why? Because made a special corner that he is the first Lekeach. He bought it before these Lekuchas bought it because he married her.
He bought the rights to it.
No, let's say they got married in Tavshin Aleph. And then she sold it in Tavshin Yud. Mm-hmm. The husband in Tavshin Tezvav can come and take the property away when she dies because he was the first buyer. He bought in Tavshin Aleph when he married her. Because Nichsi Melug, we treat the husband like a purchaser. So therefore, his star predates.
Why will anyone ever buy a field from a woman because a married woman?
They won't. Yeah, they shouldn't.
Well, unless
but they can use it until she dies. It's only when she dies that the husband has the right to. Does the husband become the owner?
Well, if he dies first,
there's no problem.
Yeah.
Like even while he doesn't die, but she, as long as she's alive, so there's obviously they pay a lot less than a normal price.
What about
the risk? Everything's a risk.
What about his yorshim?
What is his yorshim?
That, yes.
His yorshim are like him.
So his yorshim can come after the woman dies and
time. No. Only if she died before him, and then he died the next day, for example, then the yorshim come in and take it. But if he died for her, only if she gives it her yarshim, not his yarshim. Oh.
She has this field, she sells it to Pliny. Right?
And her yarshim only took it after he sold it. They have no rights to it.
Yeah.
So she sold it.
No.
Then she dies.
No. And the husband
10 years later, the husband dies. Can his yoshim come to Koini and take it back?
Of course they could. Wow. The husband, whatever koyach the husband had, the yoshim take over. Get back to your mother. What about Agbe Iyah B'chayva? What, instead of going to a bezin, the Malva went to the borrower and said, give me my money. The borrower said, I have no money, but here, take a field. They didn't go through the whole machination of a bezin. What happens then? Can the borrower then one day bring money and say to the lender, give me my field back? Oh, here is my chlekes. Also over here, also you can reverse it. You gave it voluntarily. So it's a proper sale. You gave it on your own. Why do you voluntarily? Why do you wait to go to Bezin? It's better to go to Din Teda. And also, it's hard to understand why. What the most question is? Forget about embarrassment. You know that the Bezin is going to pass, and that you got to give it. You got to pay. So why go
it's
through?
Like a foregone conclusion.
Why nudge the Bezin? I mean, what tircha the Beidin for nothing? But anyway. Sounds to me there's nothing wrong with going to the Din Teda and everything should be done properly and there's a protocol and the protocol is if this is what you're going to do you should go to a Bezin. You don't have to fight. It doesn't mean when you go to Bezin there's a fight or an argument. It has to be acrimonious. Umeimas ochel peidi. From when can the lender start eating the fruits? In other words, he goes to the borrower, owe me money, the borrower doesn't have and we're going to seize the property. So when does the lender start have a right to start eating from the property?
Well,
not straight away. Oh, so the Bezin has to give this kind of special document, a seizure, like they give the sheriff. So you have a right to seize, and that moment he can go and. And the way it works is that Bezin waits, they do a hachrozah for 90 days, and they do a shtar drachta for 90 days, and then they say, wherever his property, you can go look, search, do a forensic search, and then go ahead and seize the property. But it's a 90 day interim period. That's Rav. No, to find whatever his properties are, unless he can sell it beforehand and get turned into money or converted to money and so on. Abaye Amar Eide Bechasuma Zochaloi. No, you don't have to wait the 90 days. The moment the Bezin wrote that document and the Eidim signed it, it's either the Kecha Bezin or the Eidim. The moment they signed it, comes in effect and the Malva can seize it straight away. You don't have to wait the 90 days. Or even if he didn't seize the property yet, he can walk into the field and take, he knows which property it's going to be in 90 days, he can walk in and take the produce.
Settlement is 90-day terms.
That's right. That even though he has a drach in his hand, now the way it usually works is, they give you a drach to wait 90 days, and then you go ahead and look for the fields. You find the field, you got to give it 30 days, because you're going to do a public auction. Because it could be somebody will give more money for the field than what you're owed $1,000 and you're prepared to see the property. Maybe he can sell for $1,500. So we give him a 30-day period. So according to Rava, you got to wait those 30 days as well. But not only do you wait the days of Adrachta, you also wait the 30 days to see whether you're entitled to this field or not. So you want to write Mishnah. If somebody hires a potter, a bull from his friend... And this morning you have to help a couple of it. Hasoich Porer Chaveda. In a lot of yeshivas, this is the first Gemara in Bayas and Lubavitch. You learn Eilu Metzias first, but a lot of other yeshivas learn Hamafkid first. And this Gemara is pretty hard for a young kid to hold cup. But if a 6-year-old can hold cup here, we can also. Hasoich Porer Mechaveda. So if somebody hires a bull from his friend, so Shimon hired from Reuven a bull, so he's chayif a gneva v'aveda, but he's potter nineteen, and then he turned around and he lent it to Levi. And by Levi it died a natural death. Now, the Levi as a shoyol is chayif for einsin, for accidents, but Shimon as a seichid is potter. So what happens in this case? So this is what happens. Yishova ha-seichet shemeisa kedarka. The seichet turns around to Reuven and says, Reuven, I don't owe you anything because it died a natural death and I'm potter, I'm a seichet. And then he turns around to the shoyel and says, but you're a borrower, so you're responsible for accidents. Pay me the money. Va-ha-shoyel yishalom le-seichet. And the shoyel has to pay. The seichet made a whole geshefta out of this. Comes on to Yishova and says, is that fair? Kate said, hallo, oisus cheide b'parash
ha-chaveli.
Yeah, I'm making money out of your potter. The potter goes back to the original.
You're talking about the novella?
No. No, that would mean that who now gets paid for that oinus? That means that this guy is now excused from the whole, he's no longer involved in this whole thing, the seich is no longer involved. It's directly between the owner and the shoyl. Rabbi says it's not fair. Says the Gemara.
Because the owner container, I rented it to you. I never had Rishus that Yanim should borrow it.
Yeah, but a Shoyal, well, that's, in place tomorrow's the whole discussion. Remember we had in the beginning of Bukama? A Shemir Shemasa L'Shemir HaMachis Abayi V'Rava, if it goes up in Shemira or down, according to Leima Boya, but according to Rava, if it goes up in Shemira, then you don't even have to, but even if it goes up, it's much better. Shoyal will be more mindful than a Seicha, because Shoyal is responsible for everything.
More responsible, yeah.
So therefore, the owner can have tainus. I never, because I gave it to somebody more responsible than me.
Yeah, but can the Shoyal say, you know, I borrowed from this person because...
It's around who you borrowed from. I mean, that's Machlekes. Chacham is saying that the Shoyal has nothing to do with the owner, just with the middleman, and Rabbi says, no, Nalach Rabbi Yeshi. Gemara. I don't understand. How did the Seicha become the owner of this potter that the Shoyal owes him money? B'shvua. It seemed that the Shvua itself, when he swore that it died by an accident, so now it's not only the swearing makes him potter, the swearing now makes him that the original owner is no longer tied to the animal. Shvua does an extra step. Not only does it potter the Seicha from paying, but it removes ownership from the Baal HaBos. So therefore now he's the owner of the Shoyal, pays him. Let the mask say to the soicher, Dal ant, get away from here, Dal shvoscha. I don't want your shvua. I don't want you to sever my links with this animal. I'm more than happy to deal directly with the shoyal because he owes me money for his anonymous. On Malay, he's like, what? I said, is that what you think the pshat is? Me sovereign soicher b'shvua de kakonele. You think shvua is a form of kinyan? Shvua, all shvua does is it patterns
for payment.
Payment doesn't sever the links with the original owner. So what gives him ownership is mishas misa de kani. The moment the animal died, since the soicher is part of such a form of death, that means that there's no animal anymore. The animal's dead. The animal's gone. So there's no animal. There's no animal. Then the original owner doesn't own anything anymore. And therefore now the new Baal HaBos is the Seicher. So what's the point of the Shvua? Well, Shvua k'dei l'haf his daitis b'mayis, to appease him that he should know that, you know, it happened in a way that nobody owes him money.
How can he swear anyways if he wasn't
talking about the case where he can, or he gets the other guy to, if he, we'll see tomorrow later, that the reason why Shem is no good is because he says, you I trust with the Shvua, and him I don't trust with the Shvua. Yeah. That's one opinion. We'll see how this, all that fits into that mission. So you have to come tomorrow, even though tomorrow is Kap Day.
We're saying halal tomorrow.
It's unbelievable.
The first time in many years that we're saying halal and chag asusim.
Oh, that's it. Oh, but Abzeda. Now, halt kope. Pa'omim, sometimes. Shabailib. This is some fanciful stuff, but just the mental gymnastics. Sometimes the owner of the animal can owe the renter four animals based on one animal. Shabailim, Mishalmin, Kama, part of the Zeichet. He has to give him four animals for the one. Shimon rented a cow from Reuven, and Reuven owes him four cows based on
he
that.
He borrows it back.
Oh, very good.
But how's he owe him four?
You'll see in a second. Heichidami, how does this work? Agra minei mei yoyim. So Shimon rented from Reuven 100 days the use of the cow. Then Reuven suddenly desperately needed the cow back. But Shimon has a contract, a lease. So v'hoda shayli minei tishin yoyim. So Reuven turns around to Shimon and says, be a mensch. Lend it back to me for 90 days. So now Reuven, the owner, is actually a borrower.
So he's a shoyal. He's not shoyal. Buying it back. He's not paying out the lease.
No. He's a shoyal. And then I'll let you have the last 10 days. You paid me rent for 90, but you'll use it for 10 days. Okay. Shimon, being the mensch he is, agreed. Then Shimon says, oi, I didn't realize I need it. But I lent it to you. I can't reverse that. So let me rent it to you a second time for 70 days. 80 days. Hoder Agimene Tam, the Shimon turned around to Reuven and says,
Reuven's an idiot.
So this is the case, the sardine case, which keeps on going around and around, you know, the can of sardines. Hoder Agimene Tam, the Nyemi, he then went ahead and he rented a second time for 80 days, but then suddenly Reuven realized, I need it back for at least 70 days. Well, Hoder Shailimene Shimon Nyemi. Reuven then borrowed a second time. So Reuven is twice over a Shoyal, and Shimon is twice over a Seichel. Suddenly, you know what happened? Bad luck. It died while Reuven, the owner of the animal, borrowed it from Shimon.
So now
he owes money to Shimon now because he's a borrower. He owes him twice. But he also has to fulfill two contracts of renting. So he has to give him four cows. Two that he has to pay him with, and two he has to two cows to for rent to rent to him. No, he doesn't get any more money. He already gave him. He already got a contract. So he owes him two full cows, and he has to give him another two cows to work with. It doesn't sound right. Mechti. Chod parhu. The whole story is one cow. I live Afka. Afka Meshchidus v'Eilish. It's the same cow going back and forth from renting to borrowing in Afka Meshchidus
v'Eilish. But you can see, he can turn up in Beis Din and say, I have a star here that I rented a cow. I have a star here. I lent him a cow.
Okay. It's the same cow. How can one cow produce four cows? That's what it's called. One cow produces four cows. Omelay. The problem is the potter's dead. If the potter had been alive, you're right, it's one potter. Now that it's dead, it's all theory. Theory. We've got four cows coming out of one cow. Let's get so excited. One cow can only generate two cows. This cow now became this two situations, two scenarios. One was a scenario of borrowing and one was renting. So there's the same cow that was borrowed twice, so therefore he only has to pay him for one cow. And the same cow that was rented twice, he has to give another cow to supplement him. He's still costing him. Imagine the owner of the cow has to pay the rent, the tenant, the renter for the cow that he borrowed back.
But he was paid two lots of rent when he was even...
Yeah, but he's giving back the cow. He's giving back the guy. The guy was obviously a mensch, so he rented for 100 days and then he's only used
for 10. He's lent back to him for 90 days from Zist.
That's right. Shum Shaila Achazi v'shum Schiris Achazi. The name of Shaila is one, the name of Schiris is one. The Shaila Karnel Gamri so the Shaila Karnel Gamri. The renter gets to keep the borrowed one. The Schiris Ababayim Schiris Omedel Lemari. But the Schiris, he uses it for the 10 days and then gives it back. Omer Rabbim said... Pa'omim. Now, the next Gemara is, okay, hold the cup again. Actually, starts a new Gemara, we'll do this tomorrow. But the idea is, just a Hagdoma, that when you swear false, sometimes you have to bring a Karma Chatas and sometimes a Karma Oshim. Where there's a personal gain, in other words, you swore false about money, that I swore I don't owe you money, it turned out to be that I did, and I made it, I bring a Karma Oshim. Where there was no gain, stam, the problem was the fact that you lied, you bring a Karma Chatas. So we're going to go through every possible scenario between a shoyel and a seicher, where either there's both chattas, both asham, both the chattas, one knows when one of them has a personal gain from his swearing false, and one of them gains nothing, because anyway, in this case the borrower lender, anyway you have to pay, so it's just a lie, rather than... Okay?